purpose of this special meeting tonight is to talk about the COVID rates and the average positivity rates, and that they've gone down. So we need to talk about our library services, our mask mandates, meeting rooms, and sick employees, like how we're going to continue to handle that. Hold on just a moment. So, Robert had a phone conversation with the county public health director. Do you want to talk about, Robert, what you talked about with him, and to start us off?
I actually mentioned that to Lori. I had been trying to get in touch with him for several days. You can imagine things have been pretty things are moving so quickly, the numbers are dropping, et cetera. And what I was wanting to make sure is that we were working in concert with them and still could be true to the information that we had given the employees and the other board members. The gist of the conversation was is that he felt confident that with the lapse of time it's taken to get to the special meeting and us making the acknowledging that we had already dropped to 15%, which is what we had talked about in the meeting, we'd have to go back to that. We're down below that now. He felt confident that opening up was just absolutely fine. That he did not anticipate via the information that he'd gotten and studying the statistics and what have you, it looks as though we're probably in a pretty good place, because we actually had so much COVID with the Omicron that between the people that we do have vaccinated and the people then that actually got Omicron, that we really have pretty good numbers in terms of protecting ourselves. Now, the one other thing that I wanted to talk about with him, and I ran this past him, was, okay, what do we tell our patrons? Are we going to ask them to mask up, or are we at this point going to make it voluntary? If we do that, does that mean that we have to, allow the staff to do that, or can there be a double standard there, whatever he would call that? So we discussed why you would have a double standard. And my point to him is that the board has demonstrated, consistently over the last couple of months, that we're very concerned about the health of the employees. It breaks my heart that we've had so much illness in this thing, because quite frankly, depending on which variant you got, I still see Patty struggling with some of the stuff, but I think some of the people with Omicron probably won't have that kind of long-term illness. But even if you don't, you can still have fogginess, et cetera. And then we have people who have comorbidity in that you either undergoing treatments for something, have a lung ailment, chronic asthma, those kinds of things. Do we want to do that? He said that is up to the board. And so I did not say one way or the other to him where we were leaning, because I don't know where the board is leaning on that. We really haven't discussed that at this point. But that's it kind of in a nutshell, he really believed that by March that the numbers will be significantly lower, down 3-4%.
Wow.
So I just want to level set, and you can put this in the minutes, Karen, that our two-week, as of today, I was looking, our two-week average positivity rate was 12.97%, and our one-week average positivity rate was 10.24%. So it is dropping, and it's going down, it seems, pretty quickly in comparison to, you know, how quickly it went up, right? So, but I guess my thought is that since we went to curbside at about, I think it was 15 point something, that we could potentially, my thought is we could, you know, open back up, move from curbside to the full service that we had. I still would want to keep meeting rooms, you know, not having people gather in the library until we get to a lower rate. Maybe we get, I think when we had talked about this before, we had talked about maybe to, was it 6 or 8% we were talking about before we would open back up meeting rooms. This was like some time ago, right? Because we've had meeting rooms closed for some time. But I guess until this, oh, and I wanted to say the statewide 1 week average positivity was 7.8%. So my thought is that we would open back up the library services, move from curbside to the full service with the exception of the meeting rooms. That I would like, I mean, I think the CDC is still saying mask mandates indoors. And so I'd like for our employees to continue to wear masks indoors. And we could make mask optional for patrons. And highly encourage it until we get to a point where the CDC says, you know, we don't need to do the masks.
If we do that, and people do decide, and I would anticipate that they would say, oh, good. Well, you know, you gave me the choice. I'm not going to wear it. That wouldn't be inconsistent with what any of us have seen through the last couple of months in the county. But I would also say, though, that distancing is probably still a good idea, which goes back to the meeting room thing. It would make sense if we limited the amount of people in the meeting room. In other words, if what is the capacity of the one there at the Elizabeth Library?
I think it's 27.
Okay, so you know, having 30 people in there, and having been in there when it has had a lot more than 27, it truly turns into sardines real quick. If we could maybe come at a realistic number where at least then you would know that people could have some spacing, and we could say, you know, please try and space yourself, etc. I don't know. It's confusing at best, and I think we need a lot of input here.
I just want to say, Omicron. I mean, well, COVID and the Omicron variant, right, is airborne. So that's why. I mean, even with the distancing, right? I mean, somebody gave the analogy that if you could smell secondhand cigarette smoke, it's too close. You can get Omicron, right? Or if you can smell somebody's perfume, you can get Omicron. So I'm always going to err on the side of caution when it comes to our employees and being good community stewards. And so, I mean, I think about, you know, we still have children, and I don't know how many young children you're having coming into your facility, but we still have children under 5 who aren't able to be vaccinated, so they're still at risk, right? We still have those with comorbidities who are at risk. So, I mean, I think I feel comfortable opening back up, but I do want, you know, our employees to wear masks until we get to the CDC saying, you know, we don't have to do the mask. And then, I mean, highly encourage masks for people who come in. But I mean, I know that's a fight you guys may or may not need to deal with. And so
it's really hard to wear a mask all day. And personally, I've had COVID twice and vaccinated, and I still got it. And why would I need to wear a mask at this point? I have antibodies. I'm, you know,
you're protecting others. I mean, I understand.
No,
I mean,
you're
protecting those who can't get vaccinated, right? I mean, that's what we do when we mask. We're protecting others in our community. It's not just protecting ourselves, we're protecting others. You could still carry. My husband is a prime example. He was asymptomatic and was positive and spread it to me. So you could still spread it to somebody who, you know, could be at risk.
But could I even get it at this point? I mean, I've had it twice. I've had the vaccine. I just had it a month ago.
It's not about you, though, Kathy. It's about the other people who come into your building.
Oh, I know. I know. But it's very hard to be masked all day.
Well, I do it every day.
But you don't sit at a desk and have to be masked all day with people coming and going. I mean, it's different if you're in and out of your car or your home and you have to do it here and there. It's a different thing when you sit at a front desk. I don't know. What do you think, Lori and Ruben? I don't know what your thoughts are.
Most of my team will wear masks anyway. It's kind of out of an abundance of caution. I've got folks who are extra concerned about getting sick. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there would be a lot of pushback if we asked staff to continue wearing masks. I think there would be a lot of pushback if we required the public to wear masks.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I think that just is kind of a non-starter. It's easier for me because I'm not at a public desk 8 hours a day. You know, mm-hmm. I'm coming and going and can raise my mask when I'm out front and drop it when I'm back in my office. But the folks who are on the desk don't have that option unless there's nobody in the building. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a hard call. Frankly, my bigger concern, I don't say bigger, I'm equally concerned about the meeting rooms. The loss for us of the small meeting room has impacted a state-sponsored community program, and I sure would like to have the workforce back in if they're willing to come back. And that's only two people at a time in that room where they're easily 6 feet apart. I'm more concerned about that. I do know the public is really anxious to use our bigger meeting room. We field a couple of phone calls, I don't know, maybe one a day. And we've got regular meetings that we have put on hold, or they found other locations. And I'd love to have them back in the buildings as well. I think at the room limits, and the limits were set by the fire department, I think folks can be safe in both rooms. I think we could add signage saying masks highly recommended in meeting rooms, and add signage, please observe social distancing. We've got signs up already, but I think we could add more. But we're kind of to the point where the kinds of groups that we're losing, I feel like it's doing damage with the community, and I would really like to be able to welcome them back in and kind of get back to normal.
In the large meeting room, you said like 27 people.
Yeah, it's small. After we had I'm just doing this from memory. I'm trying to envision the sign, and I haven't looked at it for so long, but it was much smaller than we expected once we had that huge disastrous water meeting where we had 200 people in the building, the fire department really got after us.
But I just think that room should have less people in it. Like, what are your size of the groups you usually have? Like the knitting group or the book club or the, is it under 10?
Yeah, it's about 12 to 15. Very rarely more than that. So I'd say 12 to 15 is the maximum. When we have kids' discovery activities in there, then it's maybe as many as 10, but almost never more. So I could live with, if we limited it to groups of no more than 20 or no more than 15, then it's kind of, the onus is kind of on the meeting group to make sure that they know that we're not able to let in any more than that. I could live with that.
So you have to think 15 people, no mask in that meeting room.
Yep.
That's concerning to me. Is that concerning to anybody else?
Well,
not to me.
I'm concerned about it. I think that's pretty tight.
I think if you
go ahead, Alan.
This is Alan. I think if we allowed 15, I think we ought to tell people if you're going to exceed 10, everybody needs to wear a mask. If you're going to have 10 or less, make masks optional and see if the people will police themselves, because if you congregate too many people, you run the risk. And I think people need to understand that they need to police themselves. And if you're going to run more than 10, wear a mask. If you have 10 or less, mask not needed. I don't know if that sign would work if people are not sharp enough to read a sign, but I am encouraged that the numbers are sliding down more quickly than I would have expected.
I know we all are tired and we want to get back to normal, and I understand that, and I understand that there are probably going to be variants of it. But I'm still concerned that we still need to be good community stewards, and I don't want to be a place where we have an outbreak because, you know, we had, you know, no rules, all people back in, operate as usual, and people not wearing masks. We know that people are not going to wear masks. There's a large number of people in this community who aren't. All you have to do is go to Walmart and see that. So I guess, all right. So let's just talk first about, do we all agree that, Ruben, you didn't say anything. Did you have any comments?
I'm catching a little bit here and there. I'm trying to do troubleshooting for their other meeting. But from what I'm hearing, I mean, I do agree with Alan. I think the right to kind of police and gauge that, I think, is going to be more well received with our community if we leave it up to them to decide to wear masks. I don't think we have a culture of mask shaming. So I think if someone feels more comfortable wearing a mask, they can absolutely enter our libraries with the mask. I think we prior had the masks recommended sign. I think that does a pretty good job of getting folks set at a pace to where we can see what sort of a feedback we get from the community. I think in terms of building, like Lori was saying, I caught a little bit of, you know, building back up our communities. I think we do need to respond in kind to the community, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we need to make ourselves a hotbed, but I think we can do it with a bit of, you know, we are communal spaces, so a bit of communal rule, I think, is fair. That if we see it becoming a problem, I think that's a time where we can talk with each other and with the board to see about upping the restrictions if we need to. But I, as far as I know, with our community over here, we've seen a lot of good respect towards those sort of rules, towards social distancing. So I think opening with a bit of that caveat, I think, is also kind of a, you know, maybe we have signs that say something to the effect of help keep our libraries open, help keep our community safe. Masks recommended, but, you know, I don't want it to become, you know, mask pro or con shaming. I think it's one of those that we can kind of gauge our communities as they come. I think giving them the chance to do the right thing is just a bit more promising in terms of making goodwill with the community.
I like that way that you put that, Ruben, and that it's not about mass shaming, right? It's about really about being good public community stewards. And so I like how you said, help us keep our libraries open, you know, masks recommended, social distancing potentially, you know, social distancing and mask recommended might help keep, you know, the rates down and not cause harm to our employees who may or may not be vaccinated or who may or may have some comorbidities. So, and I am concerned about our employees that do. So,
Well, and I will say I also did after last month's meeting in discussion of the circulation, I did get some air purifiers for the Kiowa Library, so that would help us keep our staff safe. So that's just a measure I felt was a good move in that direction, because I also don't want our staff getting sick.
I think that's a really good idea, and I think we should do the same for your facility, Kathy, if we can get air purifiers, and do the same thing in the Elizabeth Library. Anything that we can do to kind of help with the air and
those links out to you guys.
That would be great, Ruben. I think that would be helpful, anything that we can do to do that. So what I hear people saying is that open back up, and you want to open back up to basically full service with some caveats. I hear mask for employees, recommended for community, and meeting rooms back open, limit the meeting room, the large meeting room, if you have 10 or less, no masks, if you have 10 plus, wear 10 to 15, no more than 15, because I think that's too many right now. Mask required. That then allows you to go back to providing some services for the community and trying to do that kind of in a safe perspective. Did I get that right, board members?
I'm with that. I think that's good.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to say mask for employees until, you know, the CDC comes back and says mask indoors. They don't, you know, they drop that. Add that to it. And then in terms of sick employees, I think we still stay with what we have. If you're sick, you should get a test. Follow the guidelines from the CDC in terms of quarantine. I don't think we change on that. And to come back to work, if you're sick and you've tested positive, you need a negative PCR test. And I did notice that the state of Colorado extended that pandemic health requirement for employers to provide time off for people who are sick with COVID or people who have to quarantine because somebody in their family is sick with COVID. And if we need to pull the guidelines on that so that it's really clear for everybody, we can do that. That public health emergency leave has been extended by the state. So.
Can you repeat that again, Patty, that what you said about the leave?
Yeah, it's called the public health emergency leave. It's called the Colorado Healthy Families and Workplace Act of 2021. They extended that.
So it's Colorado Healthy, what was that?
Colorado Healthy Families and Workplace Act 2021. And they just extended that. I just got notice through my own employer that that had been extended in the state of Colorado.
So we're paying COVID. We will continue to pay COVID pay with that particular leave act. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we'll provide a full-time employee with supplemental leave to ensure that each full-time employee has at least 80 hours of usable paid leave. Doesn't come out of their sick pay.
Okay. So I have a question. If I, as a supervisor, have asked for testing and there's hemming and hawing and not complying to the level of possible insubordination, do we pay them? Because I am running up against this.
That you have somebody who doesn't want to test, they're being insubordinate?
Well, we'll go in. I'd like to have an off deal, but I would like to interject that. I would like to have a conversation, and I'm doing some investigating on what I can do, but and what my limitations are.
Offline. Yeah, and I'll get the guidelines for you on that. I think it's up to the employer gets to decide whether or not, right? If the employer sets the guidelines that they have to get tested and have a negative PCR test to come back to work, that's our responsibility as the board. We can mandate that. And that's really our policy to set. And so if we set that policy, and just for anybody, if somebody's not willing to do that, then that mm-hmm. would be a case of insubordination.
Kathy, thank you for being sensitive about holding that conversation so we don't have an employee.
No, but I just want you guys to be aware that, you know,
those are the kinds of things you're dealing with.
Well, or we could deal with is that, you know, we could, I mean, I just wanted to be back to work. So I was just like, get my test until I could possibly come back. But not everybody that we employ may have that same deal.
But it's only up to 80 hours, right? It's not like this unconditional, I stay out for as long as I want, right? So we'll talk about that offline, Kathy, and I'll put I'll make sure that all the managers have the guidance so that it's clear.
Perfect. That'd be great. And I also think that if it's the guidance that we're going to follow, we also probably, we might consider something like distributing it with something that the employees sign so they understand the limitations and what we're going to provide, but also what we're not going to provide. So it may
it's
be something. Well, I've seen that, but
the details of it.
Right, but this act is a little different, so we might want to make sure that they fully understand.
Well, it's the act is what's noted as the public health emergency leave in the handbook that everybody got and should have signed off on. But I'll give you clarity on how to apply it, because I know that when we did payroll last month, that was something that we made sure of was applied, right?
Right. So, and I figured that I would get with Mary Ellen on all that when it came time.
Yeah.
Make sure I'm applying things correctly too.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I know that I had asked Mary Ellen to go back and let's look from when the handbook was issued and make sure that from a health policy perspective that we were following this guideline so that if somebody did that and they used their sick time, we would give that sick time back to them. So we'll look at that once we get through the audit.
Okay. I know that my employees that I've had have had it applied correctly, I believe. That they've been paid properly.
I know that was Well, I know it was when we when Mary Ellen did the last one. I just don't know, like, unless you're for sure that prior to that it was done correctly.
At least with my employees that I am, I'm confident.
Okay. All right. So,
Patty?
Yes, ma'am.
Could we missed the accept the agenda. We just need a couple motions for that.
Oh, sorry. We had a verification of quorum. Can we get a motion to accept the agenda?
I would make the motion that we accept the agenda.
I would second that.
All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Aye. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for keeping me honest. Okay, so all right, so we'll go back to let me state, is this the motion? And you guys can, if you agree with this, then somebody can make the motion. So the library opens to full services. Is that the right terminology? Is it full services?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. I just have to make sure that. So the library opens to full services, mask for employees in alignment with the CDC guidelines until we receive further direction, indoors, mask for employees indoors, mask recommended for community members, large meeting room is open, 10 or less, no mask. If you have 10 plus, up to 15, no more than 15, masks are required. And we'll continue with our sick policy and a negative PCR test to return to work if you've been sick with COVID.
I've got one question. Does that cover also our small our small meeting room, our study room? Can we have that open to one or two people?
Is that the small study? Is it the small study room where you have the workforce?
Yes.
People? Yeah. I say one or two people in the small study. Would you agree with that, board members?
Yes. I've been in there. I would think up to three.
Without masks?
No, I think we should go with two for now.
Okay.
Well, I defer to you, Matt, Lori. You know that better than I do.
I think we couldn't maintain the 6-foot distance with three, but we can with two.
Oh, I should add that too, that we said, mask for community recommended and social distancing. I didn't put that in there. So, does someone want to make a motion?
I can try. That we, based on our findings from the CDC, go back to full services for the library, that we still have the mask requirement for our employees, that masking will be encouraged for the patrons, but they're realizing that some will choose not to, that we will encourage proper social distancing, that the large meeting room will be open, but up to 10 people, it would be no mask if they so chose. We'd encourage it and encourage distancing up to 10 people. But after 10, we're saying that we've got to, in that limited space, mask up. And 15 is the limit. If we do have an employee that gets sick, we would require that they have a negative PCR test in order to return. I'm not sure that I covered it all, but I think I did.
Yes, you did. That was really good. I was checking off my list, so you got it.
Good job, Robert.
One more little part, though. One more little part.
Okay.
Yes.
And that is, if someone's ill, they should get a test, and if they're positive, to have follow quarantine guidelines, and then a negative PCR to return to work.
Yes.
Thank you.
And
then we didn't talk about the small room. We forgot the small room. Can you add the small room?
Add the small room, amendment for the small room.
Right, limit to two.
I would second that motion.
Before we vote on that, so we're talking about, this is like when we talk about the large room and the small room at the Elizabeth Library, but we didn't talk about, let's make a motion on the Elizabeth Library, right? And the overall terms and terms of opening back up. So we made the motion, we seconded it. All in favor, say aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, so I want to go back to, I want to talk about Kiowa and Simla because you guys are smaller in terms of, do you have rooms that you you put out so you don't have to worry about that? Mm-hmm. What is your capacity for your library in Simla, Kathy?
I don't know I don't think it's even listed. I would say the most I would have in the afternoon, let me think for a minute, somewhere between, I'd say the max I'd have is 12 in here, kids that would come in, and they're spaced out at usually at computers. So the ones that are the same grade, they play together, and, it's hard to get them to social distance. But they spend all day together at school too. So they come in and they break up in their age groups, with their classmates and sit with their classmates. So these are the same kids that they're with all day long. And so we've never had any issue with the kids and the way that they operate, because you don't have like the older kids mingling with the younger kids and that kind of thing. And if we do, they're brothers and sisters. because Joe is the oldest brother and Kim is the youngest sister. She's in third grade, he's in ninth grade, and they'll talk because they're brother and sister, but they live together. That's the only time we have interaction really between the older kids and the younger kids. And I imagine that it'll be a slow trickle also. We'll start out with a few and then a few more and then a few more. But I'm trying to think on our maximum days, even, before all this, I would say we're at about maybe 12 kids. And the adults, if they come in during the time that the kids are there, it's grab a copy, grab a book, and out the door. They don't really want to be here when the kids are here. So that's that 4 o'clock. I'm still right now at 10 o'clock in the morning to 4:30. So if we open up, I don't think I'm going to change hours a whole lot right now until I get my third person back, until I get my third person back. So, because we have to be able to cover the hours and stay open. So if I increase it, I might increase it by 30 minutes so that they would have an hour after school to come play on the computers or whatever they want to do. But that would be about it. So that's how I imagine. And I have to kind of really think about the timing. I may shift everything by 30 minutes, so there's an extra 30 minutes for the kids after school.
Okay. And when you have your caregiver coffee or when you're doing knitting classes or?
Well, the witty knitters, they sit at one table, but they kind of spread out. And
how many is that?
Three ladies. Yeah, it's not a big group. Our groups are not big. We don't have groups like Elizabeth. And I would forego caregiver coffee right now. Okay. We won't even be doing some of those things until probably the numbers are a little bit lower and that kind of thing. And then what we would do is probably set up longer tables, and we would approach it and put seating at each. if we did the round tables, it would probably be three chairs per round table, that kind of thing. We can kind of control the seating and how it spaces out. So I feel confident that we can manage the numbers that we would have coming in for either special activities at this point or kids after school.
Okay. All right. How about you, Ruben?
So we're pretty similar in terms of Kiowa. Most of our groups tend to be around 8, maybe upwards of 12. We're pretty comparable in terms of size. So I think what goes for Simla can go for Kiowa pretty easily. The most of what we saw was this school year started, and it really wasn't a habit for the kids. So we didn't have a lot of after school traffic. It was a handful versus what it used to be. So I imagine with this being the tail end of the school year, I don't think we'll see much change to that. We won't see a lot of those habits change. Our book club group is probably one of our biggest that would still like to meet. And they tend to be around 8 or so. In Elbert, similarly, we have a book club that would meet, that would be about 8 or less for them as well. They'd have the separate meeting room, so that really wouldn't be such an issue there. The bigger thing would be our Lego club would have to be different. If we did bring it back, it would have to be very limited because that was getting into the 20s. So that would be a much bigger group that we would have to either just change the age range that's able to do it. Mm-hmm. If we did that, I think that would trim it down to be a pretty small crew and just a different feel, a bit safer that way. If we still kept it going down to the third and fourth graders, we would have a huge turnout still. So we could potentially reopen that with just more restrictions on just junior and high school. I think we'd have 10 or less pretty reliably there. Or we could also put a, you know, sign up and only the first 8 or 10 people are going to be allowed sort of a thing to try and get that set up ahead if we do it. But I would be chatting with the school librarian just to make sure that how she's feeling and where the school's at.
Okay. All right. Okay, so that was all we were supposed to talk about today. So I think we have the motion. We second it. You're clear. We've all voted for it. And does anybody have any other discussion items around this topic? Okay. Then this will be, is this effective tomorrow?
Yes. Are you guys ready? I mean, I know you are, Lori.
Yeah, as we're talking, I'm making a list of things I have to do. But yeah, we're ready.
We'll do it also, but we'll probably do it with our limited hours, and then I will possibly shift next week to 10:30 to 5 versus 10 to 5:30, because I have to keep the hours that Dell works within, you know, a certain range, and then I'm here also, but I'm not, because of my other duties right now, I can't guarantee what days I'm going to be here, so I have to count on him to be here all the days that I need him. So I'll probably shift 10:30 to 5:30, or 10 to 5, 10:30 to 4, 5, something like that.
Okay.
And we'll make that known to the public before we do it.
All right. And the same for you, Ruben. Is tomorrow too early, or you'll do it this week sometime?
Tomorrow will be fine. I'm still here in Kiowa, so I can get the little bit that we need cleaned up, because we have some of our cleaning supplies in the bathroom that I don't really want out if we have little ones. So that should be a pretty quick little task there.
Okay. And Kathy and Lori, you're going to order air purifiers for your buildings?
Yes. Yeah, we'll get with Ruben and find out what he's done and see what we can do. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I think it is. It helps that I'll feel better if we do that. Make sure we have enough for the size of the places where we have people. Right. So then I think we can take that under I was going to say we have a lot of money under maintenance, but I think you could, I don't know if you could call that under maintenance or not, Kathy.
put it under the I'll take a look and then we at our budget categories and see what where it fits maybe best.
Okay.
And then we I'll email you or something like that.
Okay, that works great. That works great. Thank you so much.
I recommend looking at some of the Wix products. The only reason that I suggest them is that the one thing about air purifiers is that gets you going back and having to do the filters all the time. And they seem to have more reasonably priced filters. And I think they do a good job. That's the ones that we're using. So.
Okay. All right. So if nobody has anything, then can we make a motion? Are we done talking about this topic? If we're done, then we can make a motion to adjourn.
I make the motion.
I would make a motion to adjourn.
I would second Ellen's motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We adjourn at 6:57. Hey, I just want to say to Ruben, Lori, and Kathy, you guys have been doing a lot of extra stuff and, you know, all the help with the audit, all the help with the QuickBooks and the financial stuff. I mean, it's very much appreciated. And I want the rest of the board members to know they've been working their tails off. They've been doing a lot the last month and a half, especially in addition to their regular duties. And so I just want you guys to know how much, guys and gals, how much I appreciate you all. Thank you for
thank
all
you.
That you're doing. And we're, if
thank,
we can just.
Thank you, Ruben. Thank you, everybody. It's all of you guys.
Yeah.
Really putting in the time.
We can get through the audit this week and then we get our, just so you guys know, we get through the audit this week and then we get, we have some tasks to do and I'll talk to the library managers about that. And then we are interviewing our trustees and we are interviewing interim directors. So by the February 23rd meeting, we will have, you know, we'll be able to hopefully vote on those things. So we're getting there. It just takes one thing at a time, but we're getting there. And I just appreciate you all working together as a team to help us be successful. It takes all of us. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you all for
yes,
putting
thank you.
What you didn't thanks. Expect to be such a big undertaking.
Hey, I have a full-time job I need to focus on.
Well, me too. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't want to be a library manager. Maybe when I retire.
It's all good. It's all good. It'll come out in the wash.
As
you guys have done great, so thank you.
My wife and I always say, from crisis comes opportunity, and I think we're field testing ourselves here, so it's all good.
If nothing else, Lori and I were talking today about, I hope all of you feel empowered and we've learned a lot. Like I've learned a whole lot. I know Alan too probably has learned a lot in terms of the things that he's learning with the audit. So, I mean, we're all engaged and we're all there trying to make it all work. So anyway, I just appreciate everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good evening.
Thanks, you too. Oh, I guess I have to do that.